We waited a long time, ladies and gentlemen. We waited until the cows almost got all the way back home. But today we're finally doing it. We're going to look at the ESPN ranks. As idiotic as they may be, they do require some of our attention. There are a couple of shows worth of information. And so today, we're going to be looking at the must draft names on the ESPN board. These are guys that are ranked crazy low for reasons I can't possibly fathom. And the silly thing about this is, I'm going to try not to make this show about how bad the ESPN ranks are. And instead, we'll just look at it from a what kind of value can you get standpoint. Because I'm not going to try to figure out why. There's like tangential reasons as to why on some of the names we're going to cover, but a lot of them is just like, yep, don't understand that one at all. But don't worry, because we'll just squeeze value out of it. That's not too tough. Please take a moment at the beginning here to like the show if you're watching over on the YouTubes. That'll help drop it into the algorithm nice and quick. If you have any comments, feel free to throw them at me as well. Find me on Twitter at Dan Bespris. That's an important one. As we get closer and closer to the season, there will be just more and more there, and then a ton during the actual campaign. You can also follow our network at Old Man Squad on Twitter and TikTok at Old Man Squad Fantasy over on Instagram. This is the must draft list from the ESPN Top 150. This is, believe it or not, their actual category league rankings. This is not the points league thing. I know that's a big deal. ESPN does a lot of points leagues. So, like, sometimes you're thinking, oh, are these the points leagues ranking? They're not. These are specifically listed as the ESPN Roto category leagues, meaning this is including games played. It's just straight nine cat, and it makes not even two licks of sense. One lick, perhaps. Two, nay. Again, this show is going to be a look at the most intense values on ESPN's always wonky rankings list, and this is their revision 2, because they updated it yesterday for the first time since, wait for it, April. They waited till now. We had the playoffs, we had the draft, we had free agency, we had summer league. And then it was time to update the board. I mean, it is like so far gone with this place that I, you know, whatever. Again, we're going to try not to make this show too much clowning on ESPN's fantasy platform. I'll just say this. Before we get into the names, play on a different site. The only reason that this type of rankings board would be useful to you is if this is what other people were drafting off of and you could take their money. But most people on ESPN that are willing to put money down aren't using the ESPN rank board. You know what would fix this quick? If ESPN had paid public leagues like Yahoo does, they would have to clean it up. But they don't, so they won't. Couple of quick names from the top of the board to start us off. I want to focus more on the guys that are a little bit deeper into the ranks, so basically like 25 on. But a few names up at the top. Steph Curry's at 17. Which again, I mean, we're talking low watermark for one of the best players in the NBA. James Harden at number 19. I thought that would be something that jumps forward on the Kawhi Leonard news, but apparently not far enough. And then Kevin Durant all the way down at number 22. I know that he saw some slight downtick late last year. He's still Kevin Durant in my mind. And the fact that you can apparently get him on ESPN towards the end of the second round is pretty delightful. But these are not the names that I want to spend the bulk of our time on. I want to focus on the guys that are a little bit farther along, the guys that have a bigger jump they could potentially make, and we're going to do that right away. The first name on our board is Kyrie Irving, and I know, Dan always with the old guys, but first, BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything football. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup. They've even got live odds to bet on during games. That's juicy stuff. Think you know your stuff? Get in on the BetOnline $200,000 mega contest by picking 5 games against the spread every week for your chance at weekly prizes and a share of $200,000. when that game is done, or those five games are done, you can either celebrate your win by turning it into more winnings at the online casino, or, you know, drown your sorrows after a loss. Either way, online casino. Get in on a game of blackjack and poker. Unwind with over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on that action. It's Bet Online. The game starts here. I was, admittedly, not a big Kyrie Irving guy coming into this season. Yahoo had him pre-ranked around 13 or 14, and given the number of games that he's missed historically now, and we're talking like 6, 7, 8 years in a row for Kyrie, there was no reason to spend an early second-round pick on a guy who was likely to miss that much time. He has, however, seen his ADP plummet on Yahoo outside the top 20, and I thought, well, that's a pretty good spot to get him, until I looked over at the ESPN board and saw Kyrie Irving at number 31. There are basically zero players that you can draft outside the top 30 that have top 10 per game, not just potential, but expected results. Kyrie Irving on ESPN is quite literally the only one. And I know the knock on Kyrie is the games played thing, and for good reason. He played in 58 games last year. But guess what? His totals rank last season was 27, meaning either ESPN thinks he's going to play less than 58 games this year, or they don't care. Luckily for you, you can handicap this number and say, okay, well, if Kyrie gets to 58 games, then this turns out to be a like even money. And if he plays any games over that, 59, 60, 61, 62, yes, this is how you count up from 58. He obliterates this ADP. And if he gets into the mid-60s, you're talking about a round and a half jump from a third rounder. That's like, there are one or two of those per year, and there's one just sitting right out there dangling for you here on ESPN in a player that's going to probably be top 10 per game without making any real changes. We have a lot of names to cover, so I'm not going to hang out on any one player for all too long unless I feel like they need it. So let's go to the next one. That's Jalen Johnson at number 45. We've actually seen, believe it or not, his ADP trending down this way, even over on Yahoo, which I found extremely surprising, given he was number 43 in 9 category leagues last year while playing behind Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. Yes, you've kept up with the news. You know, because you are on top of things, that DeJounte Murray's not a Hawk anymore. And Jalen Johnson is now the number 2 guy on that team, or you could split hairs and say Bogdan Bogdanovich probably takes more shots, but who cares? Jalen Johnson ain't taking 12.5 shots a game this coming season. It'll be higher than that. And the nice thing, too, is if you're looking like down the stretch last year and wondering, okay, well, Trae Young was out for a while. Why didn't Jalen Johnson do a ton more then? He actually did, but his numbers were depressed slightly by a 68% foul shooting clip and a lower field goal percent because the guy that was out was the guy that got him most of his open looks at the bucket. So he got the extra shot and a half, which I think is going even higher this year. He got up to 14 shots per game instead of like 12 he had in the first half. So you can say 14 is probably a minimum this season. But his both of his percentages fell off a cliff during that stretch without Trae Young. Take that, crank the percentages back up where they need to be, and you're talking about a guy that could legitimately press for 20 points, 9 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 2 defensive stats, 1.5 three-pointers on a positive field goal, and unfortunately probably a small negative at free throw percent. But a guy who has easy top 45 type numbers, and I think a legitimate shot at top 35 numbers this year. Next name on the list is Evan Mobley at number 55. And this one is a combination of Mobley's per game and his unfortunate recent history of injury stuff. He's number 42 per game. I think it'd be smart to just treat Evan Mobley like he's going to be a 40s range guy. And I'm a little bit surprised that any of the sites would move him off of that, because the previous year Mobley played 79 games, 69 in his rookie season. So it wasn't like he was a huge injury issue until this past season, where, by the way, quietly, he got better and nobody noticed. Possibly because he was hurt, that kind of kept the minutes in check, but Mobley had his best two-point shooting season of his career so far. He shot 60% from two. I actually thought shot 37% from three, not that it matters all that much, but it raised his overall field goal percent from 55.5 to 58. His free throw number also was in the low 70s for the first time, and it all got hidden by the fact that he played 30 and change minutes instead of 33 or 34. You might, Reed might, be able to add another 10% on what we got out of Mobley last year, meaning another 0.3 assists, almost a rebound, 1.5 points, a little more block, a little more steal, a little more positive field goal, a little more negative free throw. I don't want to say that it's like breakout time, because ultimately they still have Donovan Mitchell and they still have Darius Garland, so it's not like Mobley's going to get more than 12.5 shots per game. 12 is where he's maxed out in his career so far. That type of breakout's not coming, but quietly we got kind of like a percentages semi-breakout last year that nobody noticed. Mobley should be going in the 40s. Him being in the 50s on ESPN is absurd. And interestingly, this is probably like the least absurd thing they do, because the next one is Jalen Williams at 59. This is uncalled for. This is stupid. Jalen Williams was number 41 last year after a slow start. He was an early to mid-30s guy for the last 4 months of the season. There is absolutely no reason to think that he goes the wrong direction year over year. If anything, he gets to do a little bit more. But I think you can safely at least say, look, this is like mega building block, dude. He's going to do at least the same amount. So where they get off putting him 20 slots back of where he finished last season? This is one of the most amazing values on the board for ESPN. This is a guy we're seeing go at times in expert leagues in the late 20s at times, 30s in a lot of leagues, 40s even in some on Yahoo, but anytime he slips into the 40s, you're counting your blessings, your lucky stars. He doesn't belong even there, let alone the 50s, let alone basically 60. Jalen Williams could be a 20-some-odd ranked guy this year, and you can get him at 59 in ESPN leagues. This is nuts, and you got to get him every damn time. And obviously, you can reach if you want to do it. This one's a fun one. Jimmy Butler at number 78. What? I know he's got injury risk, but guys, he was number 54 even by totals last year in a big-time down season. Missed 22 games. Had his lowest steals output in many, many seasons. There are a bunch of things that can improve for Butler in what is effectively a contract, like, stick-it-to-the-man kind of year, because they didn't give him his extension. I don't know. If anybody in the NBA seems like they might care about that sort of thing, it feels like it could be Butler. But again, even at a most conservative estimate, this is a 20-some-odd ranked per-game dude who is going, I repeat, at 78. In the ESPN ranks. I mean, this is an unbelievably ridiculous oversight. 78! He's behind PJ Washington and Dante DiVincenzo. What? He's behind Buddy Hield and Klay Thompson. Huh? What? I have no words. Jimmy Butler at 78. I would happily draft Jimmy Butler around 50 this year. I'll take him in the 40s in some spots. 78 is out of control. Right behind him is number 81. These are guys on Yahoo that are basically going at like 47 and 48 pretty much every single time. Who? What? Where? When? How? Jared Allen last year is coming off a season where he averaged 16.5 points, 10.5 rebounds, 2.7 assists on 0.7 steals, 1.1 blocks, 63% from the field, and 74, a very respectable free throw number. And admittedly, Evan Mobley missed 30 games, so that helped Allen get a few more shots up, but he finished at number 45 during that stretch on kind of a lower shot blocking season, what do we think is going to happen? Is he going to drop into the 50s? Maybe. 60s? I guess it's a possibility, but 80s? This is another really easy one, and it's all just so crazy. Number 96 on the ESPN board is occupied by DeMar DeRozan, who was number 31 last year with 17 shots and 7.5 free throws a game. He's going to do less in Sacramento. But even if that comes down from 17 to as low as like 14, he still destroys this number. One of the things about DeMar, of course, is that his percentages are part of the appeal. So doing less hurts him in a couple of ways. But he's still going to play a crap ton of minutes. So the boards, the assists, the steals, the blocks, whatever you thought you were getting out of those, that's all going to hold. Just assume points and free throw impact come down. So what do we think he's going to do? Drop from 30 to like 50? Sure, why not? 50 seems fair. 96? Okay. This is 65 rank slots lower than where he was last year. DeMar DeRozan on the ESPN board sits right next to Reed Sheppard, who's basically like the eighth man on the Rockets. Oh, Lord have mercy. Russell Westbrook is number 100 on this board. This is a category league ranking board. We're going to do another show of all the names that are overranked on this, and we may need 2 days to get through that one. Unbelievable. DeMar DeRozan at 96. At number 107 is Tobias Harris, who was number 49 last year as the third wheel on the Philadelphia 76ers behind Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. He took 13.5 shots a game. He averaged 17, 6.5, and 3 with a 1.3 threes. A steal, 0.7 blocks, good percentages. Oddly similar percentages to DeMar DeRozan, for whatever that's worth. They were both, Tobias was 49, DeMar was 48. Tobias was 88 at the free throw line. DeMar was 85, obviously higher volume for DeRozan. But like basically what you're getting here, you want to know what DeMar is going to look like if he takes 3 fewer shots per game? It's going to look like this. With an extra 1.5 assists and 1.5 maybe 2 fewer rebounds. Otherwise, that put the same freaking fantasy numbers up there. It's really weird because they don't play at all the same, but their fantasy lines end up quite similar, with DeMar having obviously the much higher free throw rate, but impact-wise, it's actually they're not all that far apart. So you want to know what DeMar's going to look like with 14 shots a game? There you go. Top 50. And yet, somehow, in a better scenario, Tobias Harris is being drafted damn near 60 slots back of where he finished last year. This is one of the craziest ones on any board anywhere, and it's why I put multiple exclamation points after his name. As we move to number 109, Mark Williams. And okay, this one, at least you can make the excuse that he played in 20 games last year, or 19, or whatever it was, and say, I don't trust him to stay on his feet. Fine. Take him in the 100s. But Mark Williams in 27 minutes a game last year was top 60 per game. I don't know that he's going to play 2 extra minutes this season to go from 27 to 29. But if he did, he moves up the board a bunch more. An extra point, an extra rebound, an extra 10th of a steal and 10th of a block. These things don't sound like much, but over an entire year, they matter. 8 extra steals, 8 extra blocks, 80 extra rebounds, 100-some-odd extra points. It adds up. And even if it doesn't, you're still talking about a guy that was top 60 in what he did last year, and he's going 50 slots back of that at 109. I've lost track of how far along we are on this thing. Just a few names left to go. At 112, Jalen Duren. Okay, so I know he doesn't block shots, but Duren averaged 14 and almost 12 rebounds last year in 29 minutes a game. He was number 79 during that stretch, and I kind of feel like whoever did these rankings was just like, copy some of the totals from last year, because Jalen Duren, you know what his totals rank last year was? 109. Which is basically right where they've got him. And he got there in 61 ball games. You think he misses fewer than 21 games this year? I do. And I also think that he's better this year than he was last season. So why do you rank him at exactly what he does last season for a young player, getting better, getting healthier, playing more? This is basically his floor. Unbelievable advantage to be able to draft somebody at their floor. So Jalen Duren, the expectation there is, even if the minutes don't go up, and I don't know that there's a guarantee they do because he's a big dude who puts a lot of pressure on his lower body with intense power stuff near the bucket. All he's got to do is repeat and play in more games, and then he beats this mark. I don't like, for what it's worth, where Duren's going in Yahoo leagues, which is like near 50 to 55. I think we've maybe a bit overextended ourselves with him there, but double that ADP from 55 to 110, and it becomes a really, really, really easy call, with the only hard part being, do I take Jalen Duren, or do I take one of the other players who's also very poorly ranked and close by Jalen Duren? ESPN only went through the top 150, which is probably to their benefit, because if they had to go farther, then we'd find even more ridiculous stuff. But at number 145 is Chris Paul, who had about as terrible a season as you could have last year. He missed 24 ball games. He got phased out down the stretch, and he finished at 131 by totals anyway. By averages, he was number 97. My expectation is that Paul's going to do more this year, whether that means more on a per minute basis or more minutes. The answer might actually be both. I don't think he scores much more, but the assists are going to be there, and he's not going to have to share the offensive initiation job with nearly as many players. So the Warriors, like, you know, Chris Paul was not the primary ball handler on that team. Steph Curry was. And the offense was not run through a particular player as much as it was through a Steph Draymond pick and roll with everybody else just sort of floating around them. Chris Paul's not a real floor spacer, and he was a kind of a weird fit right from the get-go. He is a much better fit in San Antonio. Floor general. Bring the ball up, set up the offense, put everybody where they're supposed to be, run a play. Chris Paul's got a great shot to average somewhere near 8 assists this season. Around 9 points is probably still feasible. Over a steal, I don't know if field goal percent starts to come back at all. He's just pretty old, so I think you have to assume that stays down. I think the free throw number probably comes back up for CP3 because I think some of the stuff last year was just him being in kind of a bad mindset. But I actually don't think it's that insane to think that Chris Paul can get you 10-8 with under 2 turnovers per game. So do the big assist to turnover deal. And he pushes up the board. Top 85, top 80 feels like a attainable but not crazy target for CP3. And yet ESPN has him at 145, a freaking afterthought. A starting point guard who is one of the most efficient passers in the history of the NBA is old, and so he's 145. And finally, the last name we're going to talk about today on this ESPN under-ranked players list is DeAndre Ayton at 147. And I know this is another one where at least we can look at it and go, I guess I get it, because he only played in 55 games last year. But also, he averaged 17-11 in his 55 games with a steal, 0.8 blocks, and great percentages. Both of them, 57-82, were the splits on Ayton. And I know they've got Donovan Clingan. They've got a likely, at some point this year, Robert Williams will probably play some. But Ayton's still the starter, and he's still going to be the guy that gets the bulk of the playing time when he's upright. And despite missing a full third of the season last year, he was still number 88 by totals. The fear, of course, with Ayton is that if you're in a head-to-head league and you take him, you're probably going to not have him for your head-to-head playoffs. But on ESPN, I'm not sure that it matters, because you can technically hear they've got him ranked as a 13th rounder. Now, obviously, if you're in a real draft, you're not going to be able to let him slip all the way to the 13th round. Someone is going to scroll down the board and find him at some point before that. But while he's going in the, you know, 6th-ish round on Yahoo drafts, because he's just not on the screen in ESPN drafts, he probably slips the 7th, 8th, 9th round. So the lesson there, of course, is that you probably need to figure out where he's going in ESPN drafts. It's hard to know exactly because there's just no way that anyone's going to let him fall all the way down here. But if you take him as like a 9th rounder and just get this dominant force dominating for the first 4 months of the season and then just kind of cash out, your team will technically still be fine. Your team is fine if you lose your 9th round pick or whenever you'd have to take him. So this, again, just a ridiculous no-brainer, and it reminds me a lot of Ayton in the first Yahoo board. He came out, and he was pre-ranked at like 95 or 88 or 90 or something like that, and we were all kind of looking at each other like, And it's all shutdown risk, but again, dude missed a third of the season, 27 games he missed last year, and he still beat this rank of 147 by 60 slots last season. That's silly, and the whole damn list is dumb. And here's a recap. Here's a list of all 15 names we talked about today. Up in the very top of the board, Steph Curry, James Harden, Kevin Durant are all going a little bit too late. And then in various sizes, I'll give you sort of like a big, medium, or small. Kyrie Irving going medium size late. Jalen Johnson going medium size late. Evan Mobley going kind of small late, but late. Jalen Williams going huge late. Jimmy Butler going huge late. Jared Allen going medium to large late. DeMar DeRozan going crazy late. Tobias Harris going crazy late. Mark Williams going kind of medium late. Jalen Duren medium late. Chris Paul medium late. And DeAndre Ayton insanely late. And that is the 15 names that, in my opinion, on the ESPN board are the farthest negative from where they should be, meaning these are the 15 easiest scoops on the board, and frankly, you could just build your 13 name team out of these guys, 13 of these 15, and you will destroy everyone. Now, it's not going to work that way because, like we said, you know, Duren, Ayton, these guys, I'm sure, are going to go earlier than the 11th, 12th, 13th rounds. And fine, at the very end, you take some shots, but man, what if you could even get like 9 of these 15 guys? Powerhouse. Power freaking house. Just kind of have to figure out how you're going to get there. Because you don't even have to use a first-round pick on these names. Steph, James Harden, Kevin Durant, those guys are all going in the second right now. Figure out which one is going to fall to you. And then, enjoy. All right, that's the ESPN board, part one. Part two will be coming either over the weekend or first thing next week. That's going to look at all the names that are way too high on the ESPN board. And there are, friends, so many of them. Buddy Hield being the one that made me physically laugh out loud that he was ranked 64th. He's their 10th best shooting guard. How is this even possible? Whoa. My brain's exploding as I look at it. All right, we'll keep this show a little bit shorter, too, as well. I'm Dan Bespris at Old Man Squad, at Dan Bespris on social, Old Man Squad on TikTok, Old Man Squad Fantasy again. That's old, the name over on Instagram. We couldn't get just straight Old Man Squad there. I probably screwed that one up, so call it user error. Like, subscribe, 5-star review, and comment if you have thoughts on the ESPN board. I'm sure you do. Who is your favorite? Who is your least in this absurd, absurd rank list? Again, we'll have shows over the weekend. We'll probably get another episode of Fantasy 101 from the great Slick Rock. We'll probably talk about the rest of these ESPN things. We'll sneak in a mock draft at some point soon. And we are just 25 days right now from the start of the NBA campaign. We also have a number of mock recap shows. Our industry expert 9-cap mock. We've reviewed 3 of the 12 teams so far, so a long way yet to go on that one. All of that, great reasons to subscribe and stay tuned. Again, I'm Dan for Old Man Squad Fantasy Basketball, and if you want to be a part of the Old Man Squad on the host side, if you've been thinking about exploring podcasting, this is a passion of yours, or you want it to be, reach out. We're always looking to add new shows to the mix and just add cool people, because that's what we are here. We'll just, I know we call ourselves, you know, angry old men and or angry old women. But it's really just about people that love working in sports that want to build something fun as a collective. That's it. Have a great rest of your Friday, everybody. I'll see you guys over the weekend. So long.